Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics, anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture, each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Janna, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
We three brothers.
One sec. We once again thank you for tuning in and joining us on this sometimes cathartic journey. Let's dive right in.
I don't know whether we're onto something, and maybe this is something we can discuss, you know, without that, and we can make our own contract. But having the concept of writing your comic and singing that sounds like as a voiceover. I don't know, that for me was just super dope. That was super dope.
Yeah, my pleasure. I like this is I'm happy.
Need a voice actor.
Do you know what? I was thinking about doing some animation, but it takes so long.
Yeah, obviously, it's no joke. Animators are serious guys.
It's mad.
Shouts out to all the animators.
But I was thinking about what Umeboshi would sound like, and I was like, I imagine he would sound a little bit high pitched, like, "Hello, I'm Umeboshi."
You know, from the image I saw, he kind of looks like a bit of a road man to me. What are you saying, fam?
I would love that.
They call me, you know, sometimes ninjas just gotta chill, you know? Watch them, that friend and things.
100 times.
What have you been watching? Top Boy or something, bro?
I know.
Man's gonna rest in it.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Nancy, thank you.
Yeah,
and for one last time, please, Nancy, where can everyone hear and see you and all the creative things that you do?
And for sure, we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. I am nancy.art.music on Instagram and nancyartmusic pretty much everywhere else. I have a TikTok. I post every now and then over there. I have a Patreon, which has a little bit of content. I would recommend that you probably subscribe to it actually in a few months when there's more. Build up that value. What else? Oh, of course, the Flawed Workshop podcast. Available on Spotify and YouTube and anywhere, any good platform for podcasts. Coming to Apple Podcasts soon, fingers crossed.
More blessings. For sure, we're going to remain in contact.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, music between Mo and yourself.
We need to chop it up. Who knows, get some work done together.
I'm happy. I'm in the zone with it. I'm like breaking through that wall that we were discussing earlier.
You got this.
Every keep day I'm forward. Itching more and more to do it, and I feel like that enthusiasm will like a wave wash over the wall rather than a hammer punching through it. So I'm excited.
Yeah, check your emails. That's all I'm going to say. Check your email.
Oh, man, there was one more thing I was going to say, but I can't remember it now. Oh, how's Zelda going? Breath of the Wild.
Do you know what? Thank you for watching the episodes and coming at me with the thank
you. Yeah, because I was curious because you said you were going to document it as the podcast goes on.
We haven't gone back to it. We haven't.
You finished it too quickly, too distracted. Nancy.
Let me tell the truth. Let me tell my truth. Okay. So this is what's happened. I was going through the game, grinding as you do. Leveling up little by little, getting stronger and stronger, learning the game. And AJ says, try and do a boss run. Because the whole concept of that game is it's open world. You can go to the boss at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you sort of leave the first island, and you land, you can go run, make a beeline, boom, head straight for the boss. You may get your ass whooped.
You will get your ass whooped.
Oh, yeah. So people have completed it from the start. Yeah, yeah. What? Three hearts and shorts and like just whatever weapons they picked up on their way.
So I did. So I felt there was more to, before this, I was like, oh man, I really want to explore this area. And this thing, there's like a maze over here, bro. Do you know about this maze? He was like, nah, I didn't even look at it. I was like, damn, okay. I might go there. He was like, do a boss run. I didn't think I'd be strong enough. I assumed I was going to die.
I assumed he was going to die as well.
But I glided in, and within 10 minutes, it was done. And I was like, huh.
Oh, no.
How underwhelming.
So AJ ruined your experience. How underwhelming.
Up until then, fantastic game. Absolutely fantastic.
Oh, loved no. It.
But the ending is just so lackluster for me. Based off all this stuff that's happening, it's like, you're doing all these quests.
Yeah, because the build-up is gone.
It's inevitable. The ending, it's a poor ending to a game, no matter what you do on it.
Yeah.
You can do way more on it. Yeah, the game is excellent. But the issue with being excellent is you got to finish excellent as well.
Yeah, and you have high standards throughout,
it's,
right?
I don't know how they could have.
I'm stuck. Like, I got it last year. It.
Nice. Oh, awesome.
Playing it is generous.
You've played it.
See, through my explanation, I held off from using actually specific things like, oh, I'm going to get this shrine or the guardian beast and all this thing. But if you know the lingo, come on, man, tell me some stuff. Tell me your diary.
I opened the game. I bought the game. I was contemplating it because obviously it's expensive. And I was like, oh, should I? Shouldn't I? I bought Animal Crossing last week. I can't really spend 100 fucking pounds on games. Yeah. Oh, it's crazy.
I don't know.
The older you get, right? The more you can't really rationalize
it's, that. But I was like, it's on sale. You know, I'll get it. It was on £5 discount, but it never goes on sale. But I was like, I'm going to take advantage. And I opened it. I was like, oh. I forgot, I've never played, I think I played one Zelda game before on a Nintendo Advance SP, and I didn't get through it because the cartridge was busted, it didn't save, so I'd have to start the game over and over. Oh. So I just kept playing, the first, hour or so of gameplay, and I was like, oh, that was fun, I'll do it again tomorrow. But with Breath of the Wild, I was like, oh, this is my opportunity to play a highly rated, good Zelda game, get into the lore, really dive in. And I realized with all those temples, I watched some gameplay footage, but not enough to realize that there's puzzles involved. And I hate puzzles. So much.
Full disclosure, not all of them, but I would say 40, maybe 50% of the difficult puzzles. I YouTubed it.
YouTube guide.
Yeah.
I YouTubed it. I was like, I'm not here to do this.
No, I'm going to have to. Because
kill some monsters.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But where I got stuck is, I don't even know all the character names because it's been basically a year since I picked it up. And the old guy, he gives me the little glider thing, and that's what I have now. And now I don't know where to go.
Beginning.
Yeah.
You just jump.
I don't know where to go. Like, I kept trying to get up the mountain, but it's cold, so I keep dying. But I can't see anywhere else to go. I don't know why.
You haven't played the game.
No, basically no.
There's too much to it.
I think I did the first temple-y bit where you're getting the full tutorial.
Olds. Yeah.
And it's like, oh God, the little light rope thing and putting the bricks and stuff.
It can be
and
tricky
I was like,
when you if you don't know, oh. Sure.
Yeah. But having said that, I started playing Skyrim in 2017, and I still haven't finished my first playthrough because I think I've spent maybe 10 real time days playing that game, and I still haven't done it.
I've never played. I know it's more your lane. I've never played.
Big fan.
Because I knew that something like that is possible. And I was like, I know I've got an addictive personality, so I'm out of here.
I'm out.
And it's not even good quests. I'm just doing fetch quests. But it's like the satisfaction of completing a list. That's I even spent money. Like, I love the Fallout franchise. I spent, I think, another 6 real-time days just playing Fallout 4, and I still haven't... Well, that one I've had to finish the mission because the story was really good, and I was like, oh, what's the ending? But I got Fallout 76, and I don't know if you guys know much about it, but it didn't do well. They wanted to make a very famously single-player RPG game multiplayer through this thing, and everyone was like, why are you doing this? We're all unhappy. We don't like it. And it was buggy as hell.
I heard it was buggy as hell.
Yeah, I mean, it still is because I feel like Bethesda have that you know, reputation now.
Contempt for their fans.
Yeah, but maybe. Unless they're listening, then please.
They're really trying to, but I truly, truly believe that it's just the studio doesn't have any money, and the higher ups, the suits, they're like, "Why, you've spent 300 hours programming this one thing, why isn't it done yet?" And they don't understand the actual like mechanics of how to develop code and like do the design and UI, everything. But the only reason I think I played that game longer than I should have was because they started, a list starts in the corner, and I was like, ooh. Let me just get that thing. It's a fetch quest, A to B, and then I'm back, and then it's done. I get a little tick, I get some XP. The dopamine hit is real.
You hear that, game developers? This, the secret's not good graphics. The secret is not crazy or amazing credits. A list.
List.
A list. I love me a list.
And you'll get the game time. That's it.
If in my like bullet journal where I write down my stuff, if some experience points came out of it, like blah, blah, I would be so good at life. Ooh.
I hear you.
Watch out, world. Beyonce, I'm coming for your crown. Like
she is, you can see my knowledge on RPGs with this next stupid joke, but she is the Ender Dragon.
Yeah.
Right. That's Minecraft.
Yeah, Minecraft.
I see.
Another game that I don't think I'll ever finish, but that I feel like you're not meant to.
The only Minecraft game I played, please don't be mad at me.
Is it the story mode?
Story mode.
I played it too.
I completed it with my cousins. The oldest is 13.
Yeah, right.
Little girls. Yeah.
No,
because they showed
me
you can play it on Netflix.
Yeah.
You can play it on Netflix. Yeah.
It's such a simple game. Like, I don't even know if you could call it a game, because I feel like it's almost like an adventure book. That's an easier way to like put it. You just pick one and it goes to the next thing.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Whatever you do, the result is the same.
I love those books that it would be like, turn to page 58.
Yeah.
They were great. You know, wait, Nancy plays Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh, dude, like when you said that, I was like, man, it's something that I've always been interested in, but I've never met people.
Yeah, I've never had that, anything like
the friendship circles to be like, oh, let me come and be some level 15 mage or something. Let me learn some stuff.
Oh, it was on such a whim. Alex... me and Alex had like a whole conversation about like not spending money on like stuff we don't need. And then I come home from work one day and he's like, don't be mad. I bought this thing and I'll show you it actually.
Yeah, please. That's something I've always been interested in. I don't know about you guys, but I've always been curious to be like what's good really? Like it could
I've
be
been
quite
curious.
Fun.
I had I'm the curious. Opportunity when I was living in Leeds. There's a whole community for it, and I was just like, "Nah, I'm out."
Mm.
This is the essentials kit for D&D.
Okay.
So this, I can't remember how much it was because, of course, he bought it. But he was like, "I bought this and like three books, and it was all like 50 quid or something." And I was like, "Why have you done this? We don't even have people to play with." And he literally went on Reddit. And we found like a group of strangers to play with. We all met in a pub pre-pandemic times. And we've played once a week ever since, even by Zoom.
Wow, that's awesome. Damn, man.
It is so much fun. It is so, so, so much fun. You get to roll dice. It's so fun.
You have
it's
your
so
lists.
Good.
I hear you.
But actually, I would be open to... if you guys want to do it as a podcast episode, that would be fun too. But I would be open to being the dungeon master for a one shot. So yeah,
I'll do a one shot.
Yeah, I could guide you through making characters and basically do like a little world.
I'll do a one shot. My favorite episode of Community was the Dungeons and Dragons episode.
I love that show, and that episode is so good.
Yeah.
Poor Neil.
Fat Neil?
Yeah, poor Fat Neil.
I was like, man.
This I the make whole him fatter. So good. Yeah. Oh, so mean. Yeah.
I hump his sword.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. For my the turn, sword of I decay. Pity Pierce.
Yeah.
Oh,
great.
Mad.
There's a show, I forget who does it. Harmon Quest. Dan Harmon.
Ooh.
Have you guys heard of this?
I've heard of it. It's like a Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, it's
right?
Dungeons and Dragons esque, where they have a game master, and they just get random celebrities to come on, and it's like a one shot. But the story does progress, and there's seasons to it as like it all connects to each other.
I would love to do a one shot.
Yeah. We'll discuss this 100%. Awesome. I'm down.
I don't know what a one shot is, but I'm down.
One shot is like Dungeons and Dragons can go on literally indefinitely. You can play once a week till the day you die. And basically the story, just like life, goes on, except this time it's fictional, Genjutsu style.
Okay.
But
it's a
of
game
course,
and a Genjutsu, a collective Genjutsu essentially.
Mm.
But except if a one shot is like, if you had, if you could only do one episode of this like lifelong potential thing, I would, as the game master and dungeon master, plan something that only takes like a couple hours. And you guys kind of work your way through it. Sometimes one shots don't work and they take days, but you know, that's part of the adventure, because you can literally do anything. If I say, you guys, all three of you walk into a tavern and a dwarf comes up to you and says, "Hello, would you like some treasure?" If you guys ignore that guy and say, "Nah, we want a drink," and go over to the bar, I'm like, "Oh, okay, I'm a bartender. Hello, yes, I'm the bartender. What can I do?" And like, my goal would be to try and make the dwarf a little bit more engaging, maybe, so that you guys interact with them. But ultimately, you could be like, "Nah, we completely ignore that guy. We take our drinks outside. We're sat chatting," and I'm like, "All right, cool, yeah, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, that's you know, this is why I love like single player RPGs so much, because it, in a good game, especially like Skyrim, where I still haven't finished playing it after like so many days and days of playing it, it's so cool. Like the fact that they've been able to do that within a confined digital space is incredible."
Yeah, so now imagine that, but it was just in the scale of your imagination.
And my imagination is insane, which is why I need to get it all out in Umeboshi comics and music and whatever else.
Welcome to the Sage of Three Paths podcast. We are three brothers who use this space to talk about a range of topics. Anything from politics, race, anime, and pop culture. Each giving our own perspectives and opinions. I'm the youngest, Mo Jana, also known as Junior Lab.
I'm the oldest, Okello, but my brothers call me AJ.
Middle child, Oz, aka Wizard King.
It's like, if I had a kid, I'd call them Nonsi.
Yeah.
Or like Nanso. Like, really? Come up with a different name, Naruto. So, your son.
First and foremost, I don't recommend you watch it anyway. There's
really?
There's so much better out there.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
However, if you have if you've already done it, then it's a classic. It's, as you say, a cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of different Japanese animations now will base stories off of that. So it's like a building block for a lot of animes now. But to get to my point, because I can go on and on.
Yeah,
but
tangents.
To get to my point, there's this concept in Naruto where there's ninjas, and these ninjas have like these powers. Mm. Now, these powers are split into three categories. The first one is ninjutsu, where they can use these powers to do crazy, wonderful feats like breathe fire, walk on water, and all sorts of craziness. Mm. The second one is called Genjutsu, which roughly translates to illusionary techniques.
Mm.
And the way that works is similar to hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
So I bring that up because it's a word I use quite regularly if anyone knows me personally, and we're talking on the perspective of not living truthfully.
Yeah.
Or because when you tell a lie, you have to keep telling lies, right? Mm. To continue to live in that world.
Yeah, to maintain that space.
And that space is pretty much a genjutsu. It's not real. It's an illusionary technique. So Yeah, so that's one thing I use. I'm like, oh, living in a genjutsu. And the thing about Naruto, the fundamental story of Naruto is the world is a tough place, but you can't run away into the make-believe happy world. You've got to face the toughness and get stronger and better at taking care of yourself and your whatever as you go along. So, it's really freeing when you're able to get out the genjutsu. But genjutsus are very difficult to break. You usually need a second ninja to come and disrupt you from the genjutsu. Or if it's too deep, we're going to have to draw blood.
Like, get out of this lie, goddammit. I want to save you.
The third one, I'm not sure if you was going to
go. Oh, no, I wasn't. But please.
Just in case we didn't forget.
I was curious.
This is the issue. Listen, respect Lee and Guy Sensei and the Taijutsu family.
Yeah, that's it.
You want to talk about Genjutsu? These people are cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just reading the Genjutsu.
Hand-to-hand combat, basically.
Good.
In a nutshell. I won't go off some crazy tangent and give you some philosophical references and journals that you should read. It's just hand-to-hand combat. You try and punch guys in the face.
I love stuff like that in anime, that it all comes from like these surprisingly deep roots in philosophy. I don't know if this will be in the recording, but when we first started, I was trying to find the silver lining in the singing and the song that you were singing earlier. So I was like, my kind of philosophy to life is, everything's fine. And then if it's not, it's okay. And that's like, but you have, like, I'm trying to learn to strike a balance between hiding when I'm not okay and like balancing when other people aren't okay and I need to be there for support. But I spend a lot of time on YouTube, and one of the videos I came up with that kind of got recommended to me was about being a Stoic. And I didn't really understand the concept, but it was this story that was being told, which is there's a man with his son in a village, and they own a small farm. They're quite poor, but they have an okay life. One day, their main source of income for like helping them with the land, their horse, runs away. So their neighbor goes, "Oh, what bad luck, what bad luck." And the father goes, it might be bad, it might be good, we'll see. And the neighbor walks away confused. The next day, the horse comes back with two other horses, wild like stallions,
They went out partying.
Yeah, right. He came back, brought some friends. And the neighbor was like, "Wow, not only did your horse come back, but you have two more now. What good luck." And he goes, maybe it is, maybe it's not, we'll see. And it's like, And this kind of keeps going. The next day his son is trying to like tame the wild horses, breaks his leg. The neighbor goes, "What bad luck." He says, "Maybe it is, maybe it's not, we'll see." The day after that, the army comes and they're like, "We're drafting young men for the army." He's like, "Oh, my son, he can't fight." They're like, "Oh, what good luck." And he's like, "Well, maybe it is, maybe it's not, we'll see." And it kind of keeps going. And it's like, I thought for me, whilst it might be nice for the dad, because he's just like, "Oh, this is just life. Things are just happening, around me." I don't think I could live like that. I need to celebrate when things are good. And then I need to be sad as hell when things are bad.
To feel it.
But at the same time, I think, I just want to point out, you celebrate that you feel sad as well.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, Like
all of that is us, right?
Yeah.
All of it, the good, the bad. There's parts about everyone that's a bit messy.
Mm-hmm. And I think I really love to commiserate, like to feel sad about something.
Yeah.
And sometimes I don't know. I mean, recently I feel like I love to cry. I love to have a good cry because it feels nice in the end. Like they're coming out, and it's like I feel like it's healthy, but. Like Alex obviously doesn't like to see me sad. So he's like, "Let me try and fix it." And I'm like, "There's nothing to fix. I just need to feel this." It's all very dramatic, but like, that's just how I'm working. Whether it's good or not, I've yet to see, but I'm kind of open to this idea of being a Stoic, but it just feels very like flat. I don't know if I could live like that.
It's a, add on to the tail of it. Things are happening to people all the time. Like, regardless of if you're aware of it or not, things are, the world's spinning, people are dying, people are hungry, people are living a lavish life. The best of things are happening, the worst of things are happening. So you're well within your right to feel both of those feelings, to celebrate both of those feelings. The main thing for me would be embrace it, don't dwell on it.
Yeah.
So that's where perhaps that stoic nature can come in a little bit, because by not dwelling on it, you're, because something else is going to happen. The world is always changing.
Yeah.
So, nah, I don't know. That's my two
cents. That was probably the point of it, to be honest, but I just didn't get it. I was like, what do you mean I can't cry and be happy?
Yeah. And I had a similar, I guess, point of view when it came to that. And this is a book that I've got. I'm going to name drop another book. This is, and I don't know if you can see it, you won't be able to, but this is the Daily Stoic Journal, and it's 366 days of writing and reflection on the art of living. It's by Ryan Holiday and Stephen Hanselman. But yeah, basically it's kind of a personal journal, and each day it has something completely out of the box that for you to basically reflect on. And you have the morning reflections and the evening reflections. And I think it goes back to what Oz is saying, what you have that moment, have that thought, write it down in the evening, review, have that moment, have that thought. And one thing I experienced was my thoughts in the morning on a certain topic and my thoughts in the evening were completely different. Sometimes they were the same, sometimes they were completely different. And I think, it just goes and leans on what Oz was saying with, it doesn't have to be maybe something you dwell on. It's more so just overall acceptance that all of these things are things that will pass through your mind or you will experience in life. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it determines who you are or what you should believe in or what you should do next. So, I don't know. It's a book that I could recommend. It helped me, I guess, on my journey towards that.
I know it's quite personal, Mo, but in what regard do you mean different? Like, is it different in a negative sense where you've, in the morning, you was quite hyped for something? You were quite like, yes, I am for this idea, this affirmation or whatever was the thing in the morning. But then in the evening, you're like, actually, perhaps based on the day I've had or perhaps in the feelings in that moment, it could have turned to a negative space or vice versa. You started in a negative space and went positive. Or is it just a whole range of...
It's a complete whole range. Sometimes, so I can give you an example. One of the questions for one of the days was, for what have I sold my peace of mind? And in the morning, I would say in something like having the feeling of being right, fighting for justice / fairness. And some other things. And then in the evening, I've said something like giving into my curiosity, sometimes gossip. Yeah. So it can be a completely range of different things. It could be the same thing, but also it's a good thing to reflect because I think, I don't know whether it's something that happens in our brains or whether it's the frontal lobe or I don't know. But I think when it comes to different points in the day, different parts of your brain is obviously activated or more active. So I think maybe that's where it leans more towards your logical side or your emotional side, which is cool.
Interesting.
Dr. Moruto, please have some of my sesame cake.
Have some of my... I said have some.
Have some of my sesame cake.
Have some of my sesame cake.
What movie is that?
What movie is
that Tarzan?
Nah, it wasn't Tarzan.
No, it wasn't. It was...
Mummy.
It did have giant gorillas in or the something like that. No, Congo or something like that.
You guys have lost me.
Yeah,
Nancy, you want to know that one?
No.
Nancy, we're going to have to send you this link on YouTube, right, to check it out.
Go for it.
Absolutely ridiculous. I'll just paint
it's
the
from
scene.
The movie called Congo.
Yeah.
Nice, Congo? Nice. Yeah, did you just Google it?
So,
yeah,
we were kids and we had like this VHS of a movie called Congo. And I can't even tell you what the story is about. I know there's like some King Kong thing inside or something like that.
Or was like what's a group of monkeys called? I'll just call them a group, because like, there's obviously specific names.
A troop.
But isn't that just for apes?
I love stuff like that. Like crows, a murder of crows.
Yeah, so cool.
It's a troop of apes.
And I'm like, the other day I saw a murder. They're like, they flew over crows. My head.
That's such a dad joke.
I told you I love that. That is such a dad joke. Mo got me into him.
Yeah.
I feel like that's something Umeboshi might say, actually.
Umeboshi can have it. Or cool, it could be me telling Umeboshi in the picture that he can have that joke.
Yeah, I mean, awesome. I've been trying to practice.
Is it a he or she?
I haven't decided. Because I feel like I'm writing. I call him him because I don't know. That's just kind of the default in my head. But because he's based on, like, his mannerisms are my mannerisms, and so obviously I'm feminine because I'm a woman. And yeah, he's kind of genderly ambiguous.
That's another Naruto reference there. There was a character in it where you couldn't tell if it was a male or female, but brilliant character nonetheless. Mm. So
I love
he did have a big snake though. Yeah, he had a really big snake.
Strange.
Sorry, I had to clutch at that one. That's one of my dad jokes.
Sorry, AJ, you were explaining Congo. Is there a troop of monkeys?
Troop of monkeys, yeah.
Fighting each other, or they some sort of super.
I don't know what the movie was about.
Story.
Yeah. We were kids. I mean, this is VHS times.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember any VHS videos? You maybe the Jonas Brothers had some VHS. Yeah.
The Jonas Brothers grandfather, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I think in their documentary they had some VHS like home videotapes. But
look at that! Wow, you were able to tell.
I mean, you know, it's got that like 90s feel. It's all grainy. It's 4:3 aspect ratio. It's right, nostalgia. I think the VHS. VHSs that I remember are like Lion King. Actually, it was really funny because obviously, like, I don't know how what the actual distribution is for things in Africa, but when you hear about licensing media, you hear about it being like Asia, Australia, like Europe and America. You don't really even hear about South America, like as a continent, getting distribution rights for stuff. But clearly they have stuff like Netflix, but that's not even the point. Basically, growing up, you could only buy bootlegs of stuff. You could never be like, oh, you see that holographic little sticker on it and it's real. Nah, it's a photocopy. Some guy printed it in his house. Like, so that's kind of my
cinema.
Yeah, exactly. With his little.
Yeah, do you remember those? You okay?
Yeah, crazy. Crazy.
But I remember that I had all the sequels to stuff first. So I love Lion King 2 because I watched it nonstop as like a 5-year-old.
Okay, we got you.
Mm.
Disaster.
No reach.
Disgrace.
For shame.
He has for trouble. Oh my.
Actually, I was rewatching it I say recently, this was a couple of years ago, but when they have that song Inupendi,
all of them are big
when
tunes.
The passion fruit goes sweet.
Yes, oh my gosh, such a good song. But obviously as a kid, especially living in Tanzania, I cannot believe that it took me rewatching it decades later in the UK to realize Upendi is not like I don't know if it's the negative, so like nime upendi, actually that doesn't really sound right, but upendo is the word, like it's not upendi, it's upendo. That's love.
They westernized it.
Yeah, and I was like, who put an I on the end of it? Is it because they wanted to rhyme things with it? Probably. Like the whole, even Hakuna Matata, like I was like, again, because I'm mixed, whether I'm in Tanzania or Latvia, people don't really know that I'm their people, whatever that means. Yeah. So I was sitting in the taxi when Alex's parents came over and I was explaining to them, it's not Hakuna Matata. Like everybody here has adopted it because it's pop culture, but it's actually Hakuna Matatizo. There is no problems. That's the full word.
Do you know what?
And the taxi driver was like looking in the rear view and he was smiling at me like, oh, you're one of us.
Oh, nice. Before this conversation, I didn't know that Lion King was set in Tanzania.
Yeah. Well, Kenya and us have a little fight over it a little bit because
So
I think the two. Pride Rock, like that structure, that like shape, I think that is like in the very south of Kenya. But it's near enough to the border that, you know, that I think people can like sometimes call it Tanzania. If like I think the Maasai, which is a tribe that kind of lives between the border of Kenya and Tanzania, they sometimes like roam around, and they don't like, as far as I'm aware, I could be wrong, but like they just live there. They don't really care too much about like, oh, I'm in Tanzania today. Oh, I need to ride my bike and go over to Kenya.
Those borders are from colonial masters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they don't mean anything really. But Kilimanjaro is also in The Lion King. It's that gorgeous mountain, and I love it. Like my boarding school, at the time it was called the International School of Moshi. I saw that mountain every day. It was beautiful. Wow. It was gorgeous. Wow. I was so like every day I looked at it, I was just conscious to remember to be grateful that I can have this view every day. Mm-hmm. Like 100%. Tourists pay thousands of dollars to catch a glimpse of it, and then it's cloudy all week that they're here. Like I get to see it whenever. But like us in Tanzania and Kenya have like a little friendly fight about like, oh, like, yeah, no, Lion King is set in Tanzania. No, it's set in Kenya. It's clearly because Kilimanjaro. Blah, blah, blah. So it's quite a funny fight, but they speak Swahili in Kenya as well. So
yeah. I thought Pride Rock was purely fictional. You lot are blowing my mind right now. And everyone's just nodding ahead like, yeah. We all knew it. Yeah, we were there when they shot it. Yeah. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
It's real.
I didn't know that there was a battle between the Kenyans and the Tanzanians.
It's friendly for the most part, really.
Over when it comes to the Nile, I'm not so sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Lake Victoria and all that.
Yeah.
Well, whatever its real name was. I think somebody, I read an article recently that they're trying to basically officially rename it to the like its proper name, because I don't even know what it was. Who's Victoria? Yeah,
that's crazy, right? We know it by the names that were given to people who were not from the land.
Yeah, that's so, like, I thought about that for a while and I was crazy. Like, that's so unfair. So,
yeah.
Unpack that for me, guys, because I'm not sure I fully understand. So the Nile and Lake Victoria. Lake Victoria was, that's not its original name. Like, please explain that.
Okay, so Ghana is...
West African Ghana.
Yes, West African Ghana. Mm-hmm. Ghana's original name was Ouagadougou.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know it. Hey, I told you. Today. This is
It's all grow. Over... You got to understand that people came to the land, invaded, killed, and said, we're boss now. So it's ours.
Yeah. When people say they discovered places that have existed to people long before they got there. Uh-huh. So like Lake Victoria, some guy came over and was like, this is Lake Victoria. I declare it for the queen. And it's like, all right, but like we call this Lake Juma. Like, it's not, that's not the name. It's just a Tanzanian name. But I was like, Lake Juma has been around like since the days of my great, great, great grandfather. Like, who are you? Who's Victoria? Okay. I've never seen her. Is she coming? Is she coming to visit? But yeah.
Ooh, well, I'm here for the growth. Give me more gems. More gems. What's good?
It's actually, one thing that is shocking is how much history has been erased. And continued continued to be erased.
When you think of history, it's all subjective. Well, the history books specifically, history that's taught in schools, it's all subjective. There isn't, from my own personal experience, a world history book to say this is the truth of the world. This is exactly what's happened. Objective.
The thing 100%. Is, you would have to do your own research. So, growing up in the UK, and we didn't go to any international school. We went to some, working class, Church of England school. The history we got to, now I'll speak specifically of, let's say, World War II. It's we were taught that we, as in the UK, won the war. And it's like, okay, I get what you're saying, but that's so wrong on so many different levels.
Yeah. And it's, it's just like, they can't even, I always found this really weird, because obviously we would, everybody learns about the world wars. Well, everybody in the sort of Western world, I think, west of Asia, I guess, because apparently some parts of Asia don't really cover it as well. And so sometimes that's where awkward cultural clashes sometimes happen.
Yeah, where you see like Nazi memorabilia biker gangs in
and it's
in
like
Mongolia.
or like, you know, some parts of Asia where they'll like wear, they'll be like, wow, this is a cool logo. It's like, no. No, it's not. This is what it means. And they'll be like, oh, what? That happened? How did this many people die and we didn't know about it? Like, it just doesn't get taught. Like. But I always found it really weird that it gets called World War, even like whilst I was studying it at school. It's like, yeah, but like, what were we doing in the 40s? What was Tanzania up to?
Yeah.
And it was mostly during that time, 50s, 60s. That was obviously like a couple of decades after the war, but clearly that was the time that people were getting riled up, because that's when, like a couple of decades after the World War, that's when a lot of African countries got independence.
Independence, and today is Sierra Leone's 60th independence. She did it legit. She did it. I'm just a Western African here, who's just trying to appropriate the Eastern culture out here, but she did it legit. Nice.
Yeah. Ah, really?
Yeah.
Man, look, I feel so disconnected from home, having lived here for so long.
Yeah, I hear you.
Can you speak
Latvian?
Yeah.
Quite fluently.
Better than Swahili, because my mom was around more at home. And so when I was growing, my entire like language history is so much fun. Whenever I explain it to people, it's like, what? Basically, obviously my dad was studying in Latvia, and I don't know if his course was in Russian. I think it was. So he speaks Russian fluently. Mm-hmm. This is another reason I think the parents had some ammo for this theory. But him and my mom speak Russian to each other. My mom spoke Latvian to me, and my dad spoke Russian to me until we moved to Tanzania, when he started speaking English to me because he knew my school education would be in English. Mm-hmm. So I was running around under 6 years old with like four languages in my head.
Wow.
At that point, I hadn't really been taught Swahili because my dad was making an effort to get me to speak English so that I wouldn't fall behind in school. Mm. And so I only heard Swahili from like people around me. And that's why when I speak it, it's so janky. Mm. My friends make fun of me all the time about it, and it makes me feel very self-conscious. So sometimes I have to have like a couple drinks before I speak to them in Swahili. Then they might make fun of me, but I care a little bit less. So
I have a question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the word for relax in Latvian? Now, the reason I'm asking this is because I've recently learned the word relax in Lithuanian, which is atsipulė dueta, which is crazy for relax. Atsipulė dueta.
That's like, crazy damn. For you.
Mm. 100%. This is a black British with African roots guy. Fairly ignorant, but open to learn. This
I'm trying to remember.
My stance.
I'm gonna have to Google it because it's gonna bug me. I don't think I remember it.
Google it, but then just do the correct pronunciation because that Jane voice that comes on.
Yeah, the robots.
Aspulaqueta.
Sleep.
Let's see. Like,
huh? That's not Latvian. Get out of here.
Oh, atpusis. Yes. Wait, is that right? Atputies. Atputies. Atpusities. Atpusities.
So almost similar, I would say. What's the respiratory?
It's kind of like, I think.
I'm trying to feel like the root of the word. It's different from English entirely.
It's really weird because I don't think it means it. It's more like calm down rather than relax. Mm.
Same meaning, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think like in terms of the way it's used in the language, like the way relax is used in English is like really casual. It's like relax. Mm. But atpusities, I feel like that would be in like a, like, you know, somebody's command. Come in and they're like, nah, 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 nah. It's like, oh, no, atpusities, what's going on?
Hey, sounds like a cool language.
Yeah, it's really interesting to I like that I know it because it's one of the very few ways that I can identify myself as being Latvian. Because again, there's not many Latvian people of color. So it was really funny. Like when I took Alex to Latvia for the first time, People kept coming up to him and asking him questions, and he's just like deer in the headlights, like, I don't know what's going on. He looks at me, I speak back to them in fluent Latvian, and I'm like, oh no, yeah, pierdo diet, mes turejam. And they're like, oh. But it's so weird because there's like a full on, like, I can see like the, you know, the meme with all the equations and that woman's trying to figure out what's going on. It's like that every single time. And there is a pause. It's not like, oh, and then, you know, the conversation goes on. It's like, huh? Nani?
Nani?
I had a very similar situation happen to me in the Czech Republic.
Mm.
So, myself and two friends were, one of them lived in the Czech Republic. The other one, they're both French. One lives in France, one lives in the Czech Republic. Mm. We went, the guy from France and myself went to go visit the French guy who lives in the Czech Republic. Mm. And we ended up in some Czech Republic village. Like, this place was a full on, they had a 5-star hotel in this village.
Wow.
That's where we stayed. We paid like 20 pounds to stay
it's
in this
mad fucking, how cheap stuff is,
and it was empty. We had the whole hotel to ourselves. It was insane.
Wow.
But when we were looking for something to eat, we would go in. The French guy who lived in the Czech Republic is of Indian descent,
mm-hmm.
but he's born and raised in France,
mm-hmm.
and has been living in the Czech Republic long enough to be able to get by speaking mm-hmm. Czech.
Yeah.
So we would go to restaurants and they'll start speaking to the white French guy.
Yeah.
And he opens his eyes like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, that's what Nancy just said.
Exactly the same as they're like.
And then, that's so funny.
And then so we go inside the restaurant. It's white French guy, myself, black British guy, and then Indian French guy. So they'll start talking to him. Look at me, and then the Indian guy would start talking. And they're like, nah, this is too much. We got turned away from several restaurants because they were like, no, we can't deal with this. This is too much for us.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, out of what, ignorance or racism? Or
all of the
was
above.
It because you guys were quite leery or you had a few drinks?
It's me.
You had a few drinks.
What do you mean? It's me. I'm there for like culture and stuff.
I hear you, bro.
Hey, Okello here. This section is a space where we'll be sharing short stories, creative experiences, and art.
Hi guys, this is Oz. This is a poem from one of my favourite poets, Benjamin Zephaniah. Title, Nature's Politics. Love and peace are nuclear free, and life and plants and liberty. And food and shelter, answer me. Who made it political? The right to see, the right to view, the way this pen now talks to you. A place where children free to go. No, answer me, or don't you know? No need to dream or think too hard. Just take a look round your backyard. For life is nature's miracle. Who made it political?
With calmness and stillness, it comes to an end. We hope you found some gems and go away richer in soul and spirit. We're showing you the three paths of the sage. Your path is your own. Which path do you follow? Until next time.